Dr. Lott, welcome back, sir. Thank you for your time.
It's great to talk to you again. Thanks.
I really appreciate it. Dr. Lott, when you woke up a couple of Sundays morning and you heard about the attack, the terror attack in Orlando, Florida, what was your first thought? If you can remember.
Oh, God. That was just, oh, God.
Yeah.
So, you know, to have that many lives lost. I suppose my second reaction was that people weren't going to be talking and weren't, in fact, talking about the types of things that could go and stop something like that from happening again.
That's right.
Instead? Well, instead, within an hour, a couple hours of waking up in the morning, I was hearing discussions about how we have to have new laws that, as it turned out, and it was pretty clear from the beginning that it would turn out, were completely unrelated and wouldn't have stopped the attack. So, you know, after each of the mass public shootings, President Obama's gone out and talked about how we need to have changes in the background check rules, but none of the regulations that he's put forward would have stopped a single one of the mass public shootings during his entire administration.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have stopped ones before that. On Monday, we had votes in the Senate on two bills put forward by Senator Chris Murphy from Connecticut and Senator Dianne Feinstein from California. And if those bills had been in law, neither one would have affected this attack nor any of the other ones. And so it's kind of weird that, look, I agree with the president. Something needs to be done. But let's look at what can actually affect these things. And the one thing that comes across to me time after time is that these attacks keep on occurring in places where victims aren't able to go and defend themselves.
Yeah,
so, you know, the president last week was making a comment about, well, we have so many guns in the United States. If guns prevented mass public shootings, we wouldn't have any. And my response, it's not the number of guns people have. It's whether or not they're legally able to go and take them in certain places to protect themselves. I mean, I'll just give you a simple example. Just a couple months ago in Detroit, there was a father who was very concerned about his son's involvement in ISIS, following ISIS. And he had told the FBI about it. The FBI put a tap on his phone. And they have an amazing transcript there of him explaining to somebody why he was planning on attacking one of the largest churches in the Detroit area. And he had two explanations for why he had picked them. One, they were a very large church, and he had checked them out. They had a large number of people showing up at church each Sunday. And two, it was the one church in the area that had explicitly told parishioners and others that they were not allowed to have permanent concealed handguns with them at the church.
Mm.
And so, and the reason why that was important to him was that he wanted to be able to go and kill a lot of people without anybody being able to go and respond and try to stop them. And the thing is, we have so many statements like this from these killers, whether it was the Charleston church shooting last year. His original target was going to be Charleston College, but when he investigated, he realized the armed security personnel that they had there, and he was worried that he would be stopped before he could go and kill people. So he picked up the church there because he knew people there wouldn't be able to go and defend themselves.
That was a gun store owner who reported that they warned the FBI about the Islamic terrorist attacker down in Orlando, and there was nothing done.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I'm sure the FBI wants to try to protect us. The problem is it's a very difficult job for them to go and do. And no matter how much they want to try to protect people all the time, there's no way that we can, you know, depend upon them being able to be perfect with regard to this.
Yeah.
And the question is, if that fails, what's the backup plan? What do you do at that point, you know, to try to protect people? And But, you know, time after time, you have these killers explicitly say that they want to try to pick venues where people aren't going to be able to defend themselves because they want to kill as many people as possible. And they know that if the longer it takes for somebody to arrive on the scene with a gun, the easier it's going to be for them to kill more people.
Dr. Locke, there was a bill that the Senate voted on the other day, and it was supported by the NRA. What's your opinion about that?
Well, I mean, there was a bill put forward by John Cornyn, Senator Cornyn from Texas, which would have, if somebody who was on the terror watch list or the no-fly list had tried to buy a gun, the FBI would be notified of that, and then they could go and follow the person more carefully or do whatever they thought that they should do with regard to it. But, you know, that seemed like a very reasonable approach to me. So people on the list now, it's like 810,000 people that are on the list, and a lot of people are on the list for nothing that has to do anything with terrorism. I mean, it's grown by something like 12-fold since the end of the Bush administration. Now, if officials wanting to talk to people, but it's not particularly useful to make it everybody believe that these are only people involved in terrorism.
Doctor, the police chief in Chicago claim that outside guns are coming into Chicago, and if we ban gun countywide, that would if we ban gun countrywide, would that help?
No, I don't think banning guns countrywide would help.
Yeah,
I mean, I think the notion that somehow these terrorists aren't going to be able to go and get weapons, it's just not serious.
Yeah.
I mean, any more than you think you're going to get rid of gangs having weapons by simply going and banning guns.
Dr. Lott, thank you so much for being with us, sir. I appreciate your time.
No, thank you very much.
Okay, have a good day. All right, folks, back in a moment.